I love that song. That is a good song. You know what else I love? I love the mountains. You thought I was going to say you, didn't you? Don't make it about you. You know, I love going to the mountains. People sometimes ask as sort of an icebreaker, do you prefer the beach or the mountains? For me, no contest. It's the mountains. I love the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, the Sangre de Cristo Mountains in New Mexico, the Rocky Mountains, the Mount Rainier in Washington, Scottish Highlands. I've been all of those places, and I love those places. And do you know what I always think? Every time I'm in a beautiful mountain setting, I think, why don't we live here? Why don't we live here? And when I say we, I don't just mean me and Holly and my boys. I mean all of you, too. So if I ever figure out a way to get McDermott Road to the mountains, you're all in trouble, because I do love you. I love you, and I wish I could live in a place like that, but it's impossible. It's impractical. It doesn't work, and so I just have to be content to visit places like that. And I want you to think about that for just a minute this morning. Is there a place like that for you? A place that you love? A place you love the way you feel when you're there? Maybe even a place that when you're there, you treat people differently. You just feel a peace. It just is one of your favorite places to go. And you would love to live there, but it's an impractical place to live or an impossible place to live for whatever reason. You can't be there all the time, but you go as often as you possibly can. You think of a place like that? And then I want you to stop and think, do we treat God's presence as a wonderful place to visit, but an impractical place to live? Do we treat God's presence that way? Is that how we think of the presence of God? Like a place we love to come and visit God. We love to come and visit His presence. We love moments like that where we can sing together how we love the great Redeemer, and we feel and we know the presence of God, and it's wonderful, and we like to show up on Sunday morning and say, "Good morning, Father. We're so glad to be in Your presence." But then on Monday, we don't live in the presence of God that way. We don't stay in the presence of God that way. When I was a teenager, one of my favorite places to go, and still as an adult now, one of my favorite places to take my teenagers is to church camp. I love being at church camp. But when I was there, especially as a teenager, I knew the presence of God, and it was life-changing, it was transformative, but the way I lived and the way I felt and the way I thought about the presence of God when I came home was not the same as when I was at camp. It makes you wonder, is it even possible? Is it practical to live in the presence of God? Is it possible to be in the presence of God on Monday when you're in a Zoom call with your team at work? Is it possible to be in the presence of God then, just as you are now? Do we have to be content with just visiting the presence of God? Or could we really, truly move into, reside in, live in the presence of God every single moment of every single day? Or at least, could that be our goal and our intention? If you have your Bible, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in the gospel, or in the epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to what John says. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." It's probably, but maybe not. Maybe you haven't ever heard these words before, but maybe you've heard these words a lot of time. I want you to pretend like you haven't heard these words a lot of time if you have. And really think about these phrases. Love is from who? God. Love is from God. God is love. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. What John wants his audience to understand is that when you participate In loving one another, you're experiencing the essence of the presence of God. When you participate in loving one another, you're experiencing the essence of the presence of God, because God is what? Love. God is love, and love is from God. And chances are you have experienced that, haven't you? When you're grieving and you are embraced by someone who loves you, by someone who is born of God and knows God, and they love you, you are experiencing the presence and the love of God through them. When you're struggling with someone and someone comes and helps bear your burdens and do something for you and help you, when you participate in loving one another, whether you are the person doing something for someone else or someone else is doing something for you, or you're embracing one another and comforting one another and encouraging one another, when you're singing together, when we're lifting our voices together in songs of praise, you are experiencing the essence of the presence of God, because God is love. And love comes from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. If you're experiencing this love, then you are experiencing God and His presence. And so we don't have to limit experiencing God's presence and God's love to a Sunday morning worship assembly. This is good. And you can and should experience the presence and the love of God right here. But you should also experience the presence and the love of God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, when other people are loving you and when you are loving other people. When you're loving other people because you know God and you've been born of God, your life has been changed by Him. And when you love other people, you are letting them in on that love. Verse 9, In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, John, over and over again in this book, he lets us know that love is supernatural. Love is supernatural. It is not common sense. It is not intrinsic to everyone. Love comes from God. And if it wasn't for the cross, if it wasn't for the cross of Jesus Christ, we really wouldn't know true, real love. He says, in this, the love of God was made manifest. In what? In that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Love is from God. God teaches us how to love. We wouldn't know how to love if not for God teaching us how to love, because love is from God and God is love. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. The cross of Jesus teaches us what love is and teaches us how to love one another. See, sometimes we mistakenly believe that the experiences that we have gone through in our life, the tragedies that we've suffered, the mistreatment that we've experienced, that those are the indicators of how much God loves us. And that's not true. Those experiences that you've gone through are not the way that God shows you how much He loves you. If you want to know how much God loves you, look at the cross. The cross is God making His love manifest for you. God reaching down in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of the death that you've experienced, in the midst of the mistreatment that you've experienced, in the midst of all of that pain and all of that hurt that God wants to one day rid the world of, God reached down in the midst of all of that, and he sent his son to die for you. That's God's love for you. It's not look at the situation that you're in and say, well, I guess this is how much God loves me. No. Look at the cross, and the cross will tell you how much God loves you. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God, here's the word I really want us to focus on. God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. The word abide shows up in our English translations about 16 times, at least in the English standard, shows up 16 times in this one five-chapter letter. In five chapters, John uses the word that we translate abide 16 times. Over and over and over again. What does abide mean? It means stay, remain, take up residence, live in. Now, of course, that's particularly relevant for John's audience because there were a lot of people who weren't abiding. They weren't staying. They weren't remaining. They left. They left the church. They left Jesus. They left the way of Christ. They weren't committed. They weren't sticking around. And so John is writing to this group of Christians to encourage them to abide. But over and over again, he talks about God abiding in us. God remains in us. God stays in us. God lives in us. God takes up residence in us. God doesn't just come over for a visit, show up every now and then. God stays. He abides. He remains. He lives in, through his Spirit, he lives in us. And our job is to live in him, stay in him, remain in him, take up residence in him. Verse 14, he says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Whoever makes this confession that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. See, this is God's will for us. It's not just that we're frequent visitors to his presence, but that we abide in him, that we stay in him, that we live in him, that we take up residence in him. The Holy Spirit doesn't jump in and out of our life. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come over for a visit. When you were baptized into Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to abide in you. But you have to choose whether or not you want the Spirit to abide in you and for you to abide in God. That's his will for you, though. It's not just for you to be a visitor on Sunday mornings. Not for you to just go and have a spiritual experience a few times a year. But for you to make the presence and the love of God your permanent place of residence. Is that where you're abiding? Is it where you're staying? Is it where you're remaining? I mean, again, sometimes we go to some beautiful place and we're like, this is awesome. I love this place. Why can't I just stay here? Why can't I just remain here? Why can't I abide in this place? And when you've experienced the love and the presence of God, surely we've had that thought, haven't we? Why can't I just stay in this place? And God says, you can. You can. You can abide here. You can stay here. You can remain here. He says, verse 16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Read that again. We have come to know. We have come to know. We have come to believe the love that God has for us. Do you? Have you? Have you come to know that? Have you come to believe that? The love that God has for us because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of what God has done for us in Jesus. Have you come to know and to believe this amazing, overwhelming love of God? I mean, I've been to the Scottish Highlands and it's beautiful and I wanted to stay there. But the Scottish Highlands have nothing on the love of God. The love of God. He loves you. Do you know that? Do you believe that? That he's crazy about you? And that he wants you to stay in his presence. Abide in his presence. Live in his presence. And surely when we're there and we're knowing this, we're believing this, God really does love me. God really does love me. In spite of whatever it is you've done, in spite of wherever you've been, in spite of whomever you've been with, he loves you. And that changes everything, doesn't it? And surely when we know this and we believe this, surely we realize how much better our life would be if we stayed in that realization, if we lived in that realization. We didn't just come to visit that realization once a week or once a month or a few times a year, but we live there, we stay there, we remain there. This becomes our constant 24 hours a day, 7 days a week thought in our head. God really does love us. And that realization changes everything. The latter part of verse 16, he says, God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Whoever abides in love abides in God. And maybe that's one of the reasons we don't abide in God. Maybe that's one of the reasons we think that it's impractical to abide in God. Where being in the presence of God and being in the love of God is great for Sunday morning, but it's impractical for Monday. Because when you're here, it's one thing to turn the other cheek or to go the extra mile or to love people who are a little bit different than you or think a little bit different than you or look a little bit different than you. But then when you go out on Monday morning, are you really supposed to turn the other cheek on Monday morning? Are you really supposed to go the extra mile on Monday morning? Are you really supposed to love the people around you then? And the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. And whoever abides in God and whoever abides in love abides in God. That when you abide in this love, you are abiding in God. The question is, do we trust him? Do we trust him enough to let his love abide in us and remain in us, take up residence in us, to practice patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, not just occasionally, not just when the situation suits us, but that this is the place where we are trying to take up permanent residence. Not where we say, you know what, I can't live like that on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Do we trust him? Do we trust him that if we live in him, if we trust him, if we abide in him, if we remain in him, that he will give us the strength, that his spirit will produce in us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Again, that doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean we're never going to slip up. It doesn't mean we're never going to sin. He's established that, hasn't he? He said, I write these things to you, dear children, so that you don't sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So our job is to say, I want to live here. I want to live in the presence of God. I want to live in the love of God. And John says, it's obvious who's living in the love of God and who's not. Who's living in the presence of God and who's not. Who's abiding in God and who's not. Whoever abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. Verse 17, he says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, as Christ is, so also are we in this world. See, when we abide in God, then God's love abides in us, and we become like Jesus in the world. Again, not perfectly, but when God's love abides in us, then we become like Jesus in the world. And of course, when we're constantly living in the presence of God, when we're constantly living in the realization God loves us, and God sent his Son to die for us, and when that's our constant mentality and realization, then of course we don't have to fear the day of judgment. But we do fear the day of judgment, don't we? Because we tend to jump in and out of the presence of God. We tend to jump in and out of the love of God. But if we abide in him, if we stay in him, if we remain in him, if this presence of God and love of God mentality is ours, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, then we have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to be afraid of. We don't have to fear the coming of Jesus. We anticipate the coming of Jesus. We long for the coming of Jesus. We long for that day. There's nothing to be afraid of because this is where we live. We live in his presence. We're not just waiting for that day before we say, okay, what's it going to be like? We're starting now. Right now, taking up our residence there. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. John wants his audience to know. John wants his audience to believe. The love of God, that love abides in them, and they abide in that love, and they abide in God. And God abides in them. They live in that love. That love lives in them. They live in God, and God lives in them. And he says, these are the effects, the proof, the evidence of God's love abiding in them, and them abiding in God's love, is that fear is cast out. That's good, isn't it? Fear is cast out. When you live in the love of God, when you live in the presence of God, fear is cast out. And we have love for one another. We have love for one another when we're living in the presence of God. When we're not living in the presence of God, when we're not living in the love of God, when we don't really believe and we don't really know that God loves us, then of course we're not going to love one another either. But if you really know that and you really believe it and you live there, you will love one another. He says, verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a what, church? A liar. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. We even know this in ourselves, don't we? We know when we're not where we're supposed to be, spiritually speaking. We know when we're not really abiding in God and abiding in God's love, then we don't treat other people well. But the thing about it is, we have to realize it's not them. It's not them. It's not about how they are being or how they're not being or whether or not they're doing what they're supposed to do or not. It's about me. It's about you. It's about your love for God. And when you live there, it's much easier to love your brothers and sisters regardless of how they're being. Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. We love because he first loved us. We love because his love is abiding in us. We love because we are abiding in his love. And so if we look at our life and we say, I don't really love my brothers and sisters. I can't stand them, actually. I'm not patient with them. I'm not kind to them. I'm not gentle with them. I'm not long-suffering. If we look at ourselves and we realize that about ourselves, then what we have to realize is we're not where we're supposed to be spiritually. We're not abiding in the presence of God. We're not abiding in the love of God. We don't really know and believe this truth. We need to look at the cross. Because the cross, the message of the cross, is an invitation. The message of the cross is an invitation. Think about some of these phrases from this book. The message of the cross is an invitation for you to abide in the Son and in the Father. For you to live in the Son and live in the Father. For you to take up residence in the Son and in the Father. For you to abide in the light. For you to live there. Not just to come over for a visit, but for you to live in the light. For the Word of God to abide in you. For the Word of God to take up its residence in you. For the anointing, chapter 2, verse 27, for the anointing to abide in you. For God's seed to abide in you. The message of the cross is an invitation for God's love to abide in you. For you to abide in God. For God to abide in you, rather. For you to abide in love. For you to abide in God. And for you to abide forever. This is the invitation that God is making to us. This is what the cross is all about. The cross is all about God's love for us, saying to us, I want you to live with me and I want to live with you. I want to not just live with you, but live in you. I don't just want you to live with me, I want you to live in me, God is saying. I want my love and my light and my life to be in you. And I want you to be in my love and in my light and in my life. There's no greater intimacy than that. And when we live there, it changes everything, doesn't it? So here's the conclusion. Don't just come for a visit. Live in God's love. Don't just come for a visit. Live in God's love. And here's something I've been reminding myself of this idea all week long. And I'll be honest, I've been struggling this week. I mean, there's been moments where I've been impatient and unkind, where I've lost my temper with my family. I've flown off the handle. And I have to stop and ask myself, where are you living right now, Wes? Where are you living right now? Are you living in the love of God right now? Are you staying there? Are you abiding there? Are you remaining there in the love of God? But there's also the beauty of it too, isn't it? That when we feel condemned and we feel guilty and we know we've messed up and we know we've fallen short, reminding ourselves that God loves us. And that his Son died for us. And that we can experience forgiveness in him. And over and over and over again, he says, I know. I know you feel guilty. I know you feel condemned. I know you feel angry. I know you feel anxious. I know you feel sad. I know you feel all of these things. Come live in my love. Come live in my love. Come live in my presence. You don't have to wait till the next Sunday. You don't have to wait for some mountaintop experience. You can come live in his love right now. And not just now, but every moment of every day. And every moment that you find yourself straying from his presence and straying from his love, it's another opportunity to say, yes, I get to come back home again. I get to come back into his presence again. So every time you feel angry, every time you feel overwhelmed, every time you feel anxious, every time you feel guilty, every time you feel condemned, remind yourself that you can live in God's love. You can abide in his presence. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're ready to be baptized into Jesus, to take up residence in him, to take up your residence in Christ, to be baptized into Christ. You're ready to live in him. Or maybe you already made that decision, but you haven't been abiding in him. staying in him, remaining in him, and you need to come back home to. We want to help you. Or maybe you're just overwhelmed. Again, one of the ways we experience the love of God is through one another. When you let other Christians bear your burdens, when you let them embrace you and pray for you and love you, you are experiencing the essence of the presence of God because God is love. So whatever we can do for you, whether our shepherds can pray for you after service, or you just find somebody after service to pray with you and pray for you, or you're ready to be baptized, or you need to recommit your life to Jesus, we're here to help you any way we can. As together we stand, sing this song.